Blog Talk Radio.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview, sponsored by 1-800-DIAL-DJs.com and recorded live on blogtalkradio.com from the new media and American League Baseball capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. John Hawks is best known for his role as Sol Starr, the co-owner of the hardware store and best friend of the sheriff on the beloved cocksucker HBO series, Deadwood. Hey, I don't write these intros, folks. They just sort of write themselves. But like most everybody who had a star turn on that amazing but short-lived drama, Hawks has been busy ever since, including roles in the movies American Gangster and Miami Vice. And he's currently starring on a new HBO series, Eastbound and Down. Hawks also keeps busy writing and performing music with his band, King Straggler, which is played at the Sundance Film Festival and South by Southwest. Now, I'll spin one of the band's tracks, Good Man, a little later in the show. Now, this week, he's taking on his most dangerous assignment yet, that is, as celebrity host of Acme Saturday Night on July 11th at the Acme Comedy Theater in Los Angeles. John, welcome to Mr. Media.
Well, thank you, sir. How are you?
I'm good. I'm delighted to have you here. Big fan.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Did I just say that out loud? I didn't mean to.
Is that right? Are you? You don't blow smoke, Bob?
No, I really try not to do that, actually. But you know,
couldn't help yourself for a moment there. That's all right.
Yeah,
I'll call you in a good mood. That's good.
Yeah. big Deadwood fan for sure. And
oh, great.
You know it. And it should not come as a surprise, but I want to ask you about Deadwood before we do anything else.
Yes.
The same thing I'm sure a million people ask you. Will we ever see the likes of it again? Will there ever be that early promised movie that has never materialized?
Oh, man, I don't know that I'm the right guy to ask, but I would say as a poker player, you got pretty bad odds on that one. But
yeah.
They tore down sets and things, but I've learned to really kind of never say never in this business and in this world. You just kind of never know. So who knows? I mean, I know that the David Milch, the show's creator, had wanted to set the films in the future away. So who knows? Maybe it'll be 7-8 years and they'll round us all up again, and that much time will have passed, and we'll do something. I always thought it would make a great feature film, though, and you know, hopefully it would have made its money back if they'd have done it, but who knows.
Yeah, that's tough. Now, your role was one that of many that actually grew stronger and more interesting as that series went on, and I kind of wondered if it was tough saying goodbye to Saul when it all ended.
It was incredibly tough. That was the best job I've ever had in my life, really, even better than washing dishes. I mean, it was a really really great job, and I drove on that set off, you know, for 3 years shooting episodes, and every time I pulled into the dusty streets, to go park behind the set, I smiled every time I drove in there. It was no matter what kind of mood I was in, just getting there made me happy. To be with those people and to wear those clothes and to walk those streets and to get to say that amazing dialogue that Mr. Milch had written. It was really, really a pleasure. I wish I could say something bad about it, but I can't really think of anything. Every person on the show, every crew member was dedicated and just really a ball to be around. It was really something.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that that dialogue. Obviously you do. You miss that flowery and often flagrant language. It really gave you license to say pretty much anything.
It's true, and that's the beauty of networks like HBO and Showtime, is that you do get the full range of your expression. And I was playing a good guy on that one, but you know, it's tough playing bad guys or any guy almost on a network show, because it seems like for one thing, the story's interrupted every 10 minutes for Viagra and Ford and whatever the hell else, and as playing a killer, you're on a network show guest starring. It's difficult because you do films where there's some some truth in what you're doing, and then you're playing a bad guy on network TV, and you're just trying to keep people interested until, it's kind of filler between commercials is what you learn, which is, I know there's great shows on network TV, but it's hard for me to watch them. I get them later on DVD and
watch. Well, you know, and I interviewed several members of the cast of this new NBC series, Southland, mm-hmm. which the actors actually use the full-fledged curse words and string them out.
Wow.
And then they're kind of whited out or bleeped when they hit NBC, mm-hmm. but they're there, and you know exactly what they're said. I kind of wondered if you had a favorite expletive-filled line from Deadwood that stays with you.
Well, you know, Saul didn't swear a great deal. He was a guy.
Near the end, he did.
Well, you know, once he'd gotten shot by Johnny Burns, and then was on morphine, he was pretty upset with his partner Seth Bullock, and he. It seems like a person outside of myself now, but certainly there were some cocksuckers thrown around. I don't quite remember, you know, any of those lines exactly, but I certainly blurted out a few, much to my mother's chagrin. But no, she doesn't mind language, but she, after we wrapped the scene, I thought, my mother probably won't love this scene the most of any. It was fun to get to go there with the other cursors, I guess, and be part of that.
Well, and then one of the interesting things that happened with your character was, of course, was the relationship that developed with Trixie, the whore with a heart.
A tough heart, but a beautiful soft one underneath, buried far beneath layers of iron and steel, I think, basically. Yeah. No, she's a wonderful, wonderful character and a great actress, Paula Malcolmson, just really, really terrific. You know, you have those scenes where you're playing someone's lover and or to be in love with someone, and with her it was really easy. It was a ball. There was never any real problem in anything we were asked to do. We were both kind of game to do it, and we trusted each other, and it never felt creepy or weird. It just felt like working with a dear friend, which it turned out to be.
Hmm. Now, John, there's someone on the phone line here. I'm hoping they're calling in for you. Let's just check and see.
If not, we'll hang up on them.
We'll hang up on them, exactly. Hi, did you have a comment or question for John Hawks? Hello? 862.
Still me.
No? Okay. Well, we'll just
I have that effect on the people, Bob. It's good.
that's quite unfortunate. I don't know. Yeah, well, they hung up now.
Fair enough.
So, I was thinking that it would be fun to see you work with Timothy Oliphant again. That you two had this kind of.
Call him Timmy.
Well, you can probably call him Timmy. I'll probably just be with Sir. But you guys had this unique chemistry that it obviously scripted characters, but even when the characters disagreed, there was always this kind of, and I don't know a better way to put this, but a manly friendship that seemed to hold everything together on a show where friendship really didn't matter for much, and among other characters.
It's true, you know, there was a real bond between those guys, and that's based in historical fact. Nobody really knows what went on in history. If we think about it for a minute, we guess as to how things might have been, but in real life, those guys were partners for many, many years, and had cattle interests, and Saul owned the flour mill for a while, and it was said, by the way, that when Saul Starr owned the flour mill, no one ever went hungry. But also, as mayor, he got in a little trouble with the government or the law through some kind of postal issue, fraud thing, which he was exonerated of, and then he had another fight with one of the townspeople, and this is several years after the television show took place, probably closer to the 1900 or so, when he shut down a whorehouse of a family who he didn't like, and the town made him kind of reconsider and open it up again, because all the others were running fine. He didn't shut any others down, but he seemed like a guy who had a great deal of compassion, and he also got on with the Asian, the Chinese folks there. He was the only one, I guess, or one of two people who were invited into their their ceremonies, and they have their own Masonic lodge, I think, that he was part of, and he got along with everybody, and apparently was a real swell guy, and back to the point of he and Bullock, you know, they lived out their lives there. You know, Saul never married. I think he had lots of girlfriends, as we understand it, and I think one or two might have been prostitutes, but that was a common thing back in the old days there. And Seth Bullock married and had lots of kids, but their relationship, you know, probably had its, in truth, had its rough moments, but for the most part, they worked together for many years and really brought a sense of order to the camp, and yet I think they kind of kept a sense of humor about it, too. They didn't completely clean it up. I think prostitution remained legal in the real Deadwood South Dakota into the end of the 70s or late 70s of 1970s, something like that. So, you know, their legacy kind of hung out for a while.
Ah, the good old days.
Yes, indeed.
Now, I suspect you have not suffered typecasting as the Jewish shopkeeper.
No, that was the first Jewish shopkeeper I had played, and I haven't played another one since. But I'm open to it if it's well written. Sure, why not?
we'll let Woody Allen and Larry David know.
That would be nice. That'd be nice. Put in a word for me. That would be great.
I will. Now, I noticed that you also had a role, before we get off this subject entirely, I noticed that you also had a role in my other favorite TV Western, The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr.
Gosh, you watched that show. Terrific. Yeah, Bruce Campbell. Amazing.
Who did you play on that?
I have to remember the character's name. You know, I did it.
I know, that's a question out of left field.
That's all right. Not to pat myself on the back, but the character was such that a lot of people who watch it didn't know that it was me at first. It wasn't a makeup deal or whatever, but I used a very strange kind of a voice that's sort of like this, and the guy had glasses and a bowler hat, and he was, I don't remember which season it was, he basically managed a gunfighter who couldn't speak. He did all the talking for him, the guy had a scar across his, the fastest gun in the West, basically, Utah Johnny Montana. It used to be Utah John Cougar Montana, but he thought the cougar was pretentious. That was one of the lines I remember. it was great. He would, you know, basically... I do remember a scene where a guy came up and was making trouble, and I set it up so that, you know, sir, you're welcome to pull your gun, put your finger on the trigger, and aim it at Utah Johnny, and go ahead and get ready to pull the trigger, and he will remain with his hand off his weapon until such time as he chooses to defend himself. And he ended up, it was just all well written and farcical and fun, like that show was. It was terrific.
I did not realize until literally minutes before we went on the air that you had been on there. One of the few series that I actually have the DVD set of is Briscoe County.
I wish I knew what season, but yeah, it's a funny character, and it was a great show.
Yeah, that would have been fun. So now you're back doing comedy. You're doing Eastbound and Down. What brought you back to another HBO series?
Well, I love that network to begin with. As I said, they do allow you a lot of creative freedom, and I guess as high-minded as that sounds, it's a great thing when you're an actor or a writer, I'm guessing, or director, to be able to do work without having people wearing ties, peering over your shoulder, and saying you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that. It was the kind of thing where if it told the story well, then it's good and it's in there, kind of deal. So, yeah, it's a great place to work, truly.
And for people who have not seen it yet, tell us a little about the concept. Danny McBride. It plays Kenny Powers. You play Dustin Powers. What's the show about?
Well, I don't know how many folks have heard of it. Well, basically, it's about a baseball pitcher who, as a young man, and we learn all this in the first 5 minutes of the first episode, as a young man has a meteoric rise in the major leagues to superstardom instantly. He comes in as a rookie in the ninth inning of a World Series game seven, and you know, strikes out the side with the bases loaded, a late call up or late roster add, and he's a guy with an attitude, and is not not the most tactful or smart person, and he fairly quickly burns out in the majors, has a quick fall, and eventually you see his fastball on the radar gun, you know, going from 100 to 90 to 85 to 79, and finally he's even out of the minor leagues, and tail between his legs, he has to go back to his town where he grew up in North Carolina and substitute teach gym class and live with my wife and I and kids, which we don't much enjoy, but he still thinks he's the man and that nothing has kind of changed, and that's the jumping off point.
Now, I saw an episode this week for the first time, and I saw Will Ferrell was in it. Was he playing a car dealer?
He was indeed. Yes, indeed, with a Ric Flair wig. I think they wanted the ex-wrestler Ric Flair and couldn't get him or something, so they just, Will said, I'll do it, and they had a nice wig made, a nice blonde wig made for him, and he was a hoot and a half. He's you know, improvising right and left. You know, he's Will Ferrell. He's just a crazy man. Very, very kind, you know, quiet, normal guy. Fun, you know, when the camera's not rolling, but when the camera gets rolls, he's a madman. That's terrific.
And Craig Robinson from The Office was in a couple episodes.
Indeed. Yep. Terrific. Yeah. Always good.
Yeah. It's I'm looking forward to seeing more of those. How many did you guys shoot?
Six.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a half. I guess that's a half season to get started, and we'll see what happens. Yeah.
So you don't know yet if it'll be picked up for more, or do you?
Well, I know it's picked up. I'm not certain about my status. It's not giving away too much to say that at the very end of the last minute of the sixth episode, or the last two or three minutes, things change incredibly drastically in the show. They're thinking of setting it in a different town, and maybe you know, starting his life over with different people around him. But we'll see.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Well,
it's you know, it's just how it goes sometimes. But that's showbiz, as they say.
As they say. Well, I want to play a song from your band, King Straggler. And this is Good Man. And I wondered if before I play it, I want to talk about the band afterwards. But is there anything you want to say to kind of set this up or introduce the song?
Oh, this song is about my dad, but not in the way that you think. I don't know. That doesn't even make any sense. It's kind of about my father and myself, and I guess anyone who struggles with trying to be a good man in the modern world. The song actually was used in the closing credits theme for a movie in which I had a small part in, a Jeff Bridges movie called The Amateurs, and I was very proud to sit in a theater and hear a song I'd written and sung and played as the credits rolled. It was quite a thrill.
I would think that'd be pretty damn exciting.
All
right, folks, give a listen to this. This is King Straggler's Good Man.
It's time, let a good man love you.
This isn't my song.
What?
No.
Seems like...
Nope.
Wait, that's not your song?
No, I've never heard that song in my life. My song's a lot better than that song. Apologies to whoever that is, but I thought that my sweetheart might have MP3'd it to you. Someone was to have, but no, I've never heard that song in my life.
Oh, my God.
Sorry about that. Oh, what a shame. Well, rent the movie Amateurs and stay to, you know, and go to the credits and listen to it.
Wow, but, that's embarrassing.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, kingstraggler.net, I believe it is, and you know, there's pieces of songs there. That song's probably there. You could probably queue it up and play it. I don't think you can burn it, but you can listen to it. But anyway.
My goodness.
That's awkward.
Well, yeah.
Just a little awkward.
A little awkward. Yeah, I'm glad you let folks know that I uploaded the song I was sent.
Oh, I'm so sorry about that. Wow,
that's
weird.
Okay.
I have no idea who that was to find out.
Well, here's what we'll do. We'll get you back another time.
All right.
We'll play that.
Fair enough. That's disappointing, but that's all right. We it happens. It's fine. Again, that's show business, folks.
Yeah, I mean, it's stuff happens, right?
It's
so funny because I heard you start to talk over it, and I thought, is that? I don't remember hearing that as part of the song. What? And then I realized, you're saying it's not my song.
The greatest thing was that we didn't get through the whole song. And then after we say that, it's At least we stopped part way. That's good.
Well, yeah.
Whoever the other song that has the words "good man" in it, but
you know, if this was
Stragler's "good man," not my "good man."
If this was broadcast radio, you know, we both would have probably put down. You would have put down the phone. I would have put down the headset, gone down the hallway, had a soda or whatever, and come back, and then you'd be like, "Well, yeah, that was my song. That was about my dad." You know.
Oh, that's so strange. Well, it was I'll get to the bottom of it. Heads will roll, Bob. Heads will roll.
How long have you been making music?
Well, you know, I picked up the guitar in the sixth grade because my older brother played guitar, and I just kind of, he's 9 years my elder, and I just always wanted to be like him. He's such a terrific guy, still is. And so I just, I don't know how old I was, 11-year-old, and he was, 20 playing guitar. I was just wanting to be like him, so I think he might have been gone. I picked up his guitar and started playing a little bit, I taught myself in sixth grade, and I never improved, basically, is my old joke. But my folks, we weren't dirt poor or anything like that, but we weren't real rich people, and my wanting a guitar wanting my own guitar because he went off to college was a bit of a problem, and so my mother and father were actually about to split up, and that was probably a money issue too. But right around that time, but they said, well, if you can learn to play the ukulele that's in the den, we'll get you a guitar. And they probably didn't realize there was a little book laying underneath the ukulele, which they hadn't probably picked up in years, that said how to play ukulele in 5 minutes. 5 minutes later, I was going, Michael rows the boat ashore. So about a year later, we went to some folks nearby out in the country where I lived, and they sold us a Harmony guitar for, I think, $20, and I had that guitar all the way into Texas, and even played with it a little in early bands, and then gave it away to a guy on the street who I'd met who needed a guitar when I got a new one, and several guitars ago now, but the first one's always a special one to you. So I guess I've been playing a long time. I started playing in bands in the early to mid 80s in Austin, Texas, have not continually been in bands since, but have kind of maintained interest. And maybe, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, 8, 9 years ago here in L.A., started playing solo shows and met some people through that. And eventually Rodney Eastman and Brentley Gore and myself made King Stragler. And that was over 6 years ago. We've been not playing a lot lately because we're busy and doing other things. Those guys are actors as well. And so we've gotten to tour around and, like you said, play South by Southwest and Sundance. But lately been going a little slower. Been playing alone a lot because, I know that I can book a show, and I know everybody will be there. it's a time when we're all just a little split up, but we're looking forward to getting together and playing some more soon. So playing some shows. Yeah. And such.
There are a number of actors fronting bands these days.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Bacon and his brother
Hugh
Laurie.
Yep.
Right, Hugh Laurie and the guy who plays Mike the Handyman. Now I'm thinking actually you and he should get together since both.
Maybe so.
You owned a hardware store in your show, and he plays a handyman. So
exactly, the hammerheads. I don't know what we'd be, but there are a lot of actor bands, and I understand. The funny thing is, Bob is, and I do understand it myself. As a knee jerk reaction to an actor making music, it's a given. How big does your ego have to be? That kind of thing. But for myself and the other two actors in the band, we were all playing music before we ever were acting. And it's the kind of thing where if it helps people come in the door, even if they're going to come in arms folded and skeptical or whatever, we just want them to come. So if that helps get people to come out, even if they're ready to throw vegetables, we usually can win them over pretty quick. And it ends up going from these guys aren't bad for an actor band to these guys are not bad. They're pretty damn good. Again, I have the same kind of reaction. But the funny thing is if a musician wants to be an actor, everyone thinks that's really cool. But if an actor wants to be a musician, you might as well say that you enjoy, stabbing puppies in the eye. I don't know. It's funny. It's a strange reaction. But I understand it because I have it myself in a strange way. Oh, you're an actor and you're in a band. Wow.
Well, you know, Keanu Reeves kind of ruined it for the rest of you guys with Dog Star.
He's a good guy and a decent bass player, actually.
Well, I know. It was just the idea of, you know, I think people were more turned off by the idea of Keanu Reeves actually playing as opposed to like Bill and Ted.
Yeah.
Now, so I got to ask you though, Bacon's band and Laurie's band, and even let's say Keanu Reeves' band.
Oh, there's Julia Lewis and there's Bill Bob Thornton,
oh, yeah.
And yeah, there's a lot of actor bands going on. Scarlett Johansson sung some Tom Waits covers, and yeah, so there's a lot.
Actually, one of the earliest guests on the show was actually Billy Bob Thornton talking about Boxmasters. Yep.
Yeah.
But what I want to know is, could your band kick their band's asses in a battle of the bands?
Well, that I do not know, Bob. And I was raised right. I'm a Midwestern guy, and I'm not going to throw down the gauntlet on that one. I can't go there. But who knows? Let's get some judges and throw us in an arena and see what happens. I'm up for it. We'll take all comers, I guess, basically.
Well, but I got to say, okay, I was going to say, I think what you need is Ian McShane to answer that question for you.
That would be nice.
Bring on all them cocksuckers. I'll take care of them.
That's right.
So, which brings us to this. You're hosting Acme Comedy Theaters, Acme Saturday Night, this Saturday, July 11th.
That's true.
What do you and the writers have planned?
Well,
what are you going to do?
We just now, before I call, literally just finished shooting. So they actually do a lot of or a fair amount of little films, little films that kind of play in between some of the sketches, and they're funny. They're very funny. We shot a couple today that I don't want to give away too much, but in one I play myself, and in another one I play a wizened old geezer who's talking about Time Life books, Old West bullshit or something. They funny stuff. And then the sketches get to play a priest, a doctor, like a teenage snotty kid, a musician. That'll be a stretch. And gosh, one other. I can't remember what it was. I don't remember. But yeah, it's like the scripts are just coming. I got to memorize them and. You know, I come out of theater, but it's been a long time, and it's like a muscle that you get used to kind of doing a really naturalistic kind of film technique, I guess you'd say. I don't really have a technique, but method, and then you suddenly you're thrust back on stage. It's been a long time, but this is something that I came up doing. I was doing theater for 10 years before I ever got in front of a camera. And my earliest professional jobs were as a theater actor, doing a play called Greater Tuna and touring that one around the country. So it'll be fun to get back into that, and I've always felt like I can play characters. There's not a great deal of time to really rehearse. We all show up Saturday and get them on their feet, and by Saturday night there's an audience in, and hopefully we're kicking some ass. We'll see.
Will there be any kind of Deadwood parody?
Certainly. Yes, indeed. That's the other character. Isn't that funny? That's the one I forgot. What else? Oh, yeah, there's Saul. There was a Deadwood parody dealing with, I don't know how much I'm allowed to say, but dealing with a guy coming in to the bank and wanting a loan for an exotic pet shop. And Saul's angle is, to eat. No, to keep his pets. Why the hell would you? That kind of deal. It goes on and on from there. Pretty great. Pretty funny.
Hey, you know, I got to tell you that do you have a couple more minutes?
Yeah, sure.
Because your girlfriend just sent me your song.
Oh, fantastic.
And if we can talk for a minute or two, and I can
Oh yeah, don't worry about it.
I can upload it.
I have the best girlfriend in the world. Just an amazing woman, and I wasn't even sure she was listening, but that's terrific. Thank you, sweetheart, if you're listening.
I'm going to see if I can...
I'm a lucky man. That's
open
sure.
it.
See what
and,
happens.
So,
you want a drum roll? I don't really...
No, it'll take... I mean, we'll have to keep the conversation
all right,
going.
We'll see what happens.
But,
where are you from,
tell me,
Bob?
Well, I'm from... I'm down here in St. Petersburg.
Now the Twins, my beloved Minnesota Twins. There, I'm trying to remember where they're down there somewhere. I thought St. Petersburg, but maybe not. I can't remember.
They might be here tomorrow. The Rays just took a series from Toronto.
Oh, they did. Well, I'm talking about the spring training, Bob. I'm trying to remember where they are. Winter Haven. Is that anywhere
is
near
that
you or not?
No, you know where they are? They're down in Fort Myers.
That's right. I think Winter Haven many years ago and moved to Fort Myers. That's right.
I think that is true.
Good to talk baseball. Yeah, congrats on the Rays, and they had a real great season last year. I'm sad to see them lose the big one, but that's a pretty amazing turnaround.
I think it was this year.
Great.
Absolutely. But let's come back and talk some more about you while I upload this and see what we can do here.
I was just vamping.
I know. Let's see. Good man. M4A. Okay, let's get this work. So I saw that you have a lot of stuff coming up. And did I see that a Donnie Darko movie was part of the group?
Yeah, there was a sequel. I've not seen it. Called S. Darko. Wasn't made with the original creators. It had a lot of detractors among fans. I think I've not seen it. I hope it's good. It was fun to work on, and the people were nice. And who knows? How that one turned out. I think it's on DVD, but I'm not sure. Not sure. It kind of came quick.
I believe so.
I kind of was busy for a couple of months and wasn't sure what was going on with things. But, I think that one is kind of you can see it if you want to. I know that it had some detractors, but I think a lot of people were out to kind of get it before they even saw it. I'm not sure how that one came out. I don't have a huge role. If I had a much bigger part, I probably would know more about it and be more attuned to what it's doing and what it did. But.
What else do you have coming up?
Well, I did a film called Winter's Bone, based on a really great novel, Daniel Woodrell book, and shot in the Ozarks of southern Missouri this past winter. That was really an interesting project, and I've got a great part, and the people were, again, amazing. You know, I guess hopefully you get what you ask for in this world. I haven't had too many problems with people over all these years I've been doing it. So, but that project was exceptionally difficult and interesting and fun. It's a really rough story, but I think ultimately something really good. I'm not sure where that one's standing at this point, but and about to go do a film that David Lynch is producing. A guy named David Rosenthal is writing and directing, called Janie Jones, that shoots in Iowa in about a month, I think. So playing a bass player, that'll be fun. An instrument I'm not really great on, but I'll be learning. So that's good. I played a drummer in a movie once, too. I had to lie and say the Slipping Down Life, Guy Pearce and Lily Taylor. I told the producers that I've played drums really well, and then I got the part and had to find a drum teacher and learn really quickly, but it all worked out good.
Would you want to do, since you kind of left things sounding open-ended on Eastbound and Down, would you want to do another series?
Oh, of course. Yeah. You know, as long as it was something that was good. I mean, for one thing, there's money there. I'm not a big movie star. I'm not going to command a huge box office, and I want to be able to take care of my family. I don't have children, but, my mother and father, and they do well on their own, but I kind of want to make sure that everybody's good. I guess I kind of want to keep money in the bank, and that's one really great way to do it. And if the series is really good, then it's not like working at all. It's like having a lot of enjoyment, and the check shows up every once in a while, and so that's a good thing. Yeah, if it was good writing, I guess that's always what it is. Bob, is the writing good? Is the story interesting? Is the character somebody that you'd want to be for potentially years? You just never know. So, yeah, but I'm wide open to it.
Good man. Sorry,
Are you working feverishly, Bob?
I am. It wasn't just the behind the scenes stuff. It did not come over as an MP3, so I had to translate it. So I'm uploading it right this second.
Well, here's an interesting fact about me, Bob, that you may
please.
Think a little less of me, but I the last time I was on a computer was in 1976, when they had teletype paper on them, and I was in high school, and I haven't been on one since. I wouldn't know how to turn it on, even. And that it's true. And, you know, it kind of goes in stages where people think that's either really quaint or really creepy, and it's hard to, you know, it kind of goes back and forth, too. I think some people, depending on their day, if they were tired of being on the computer, they go, you know what, that's really kind of cool. I wish I didn't ever have one of these things. And other people are like, are you a freak? What is wrong with you? Are you on your head? I don't know. I just kind of, you know, lived my life before they showed up and just kind of continued to live and never got into it. And it's getting harder and harder to live without one. But it's not like I'm some kind of super Luddite. I have a telephone and a car and electricity in my house, running water, but I never got too into the giggle box. I guess I spend so much time home already, kind of, you know, I kind of would rather get out and you know, see people or read books or things like that. So that's that.
You know, it's funny. I actually make my living writing books with CEOs,
mm-hmm.
and I thought that was going to be the last group on Earth that would handle their own computers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was close, but I'm actually finding that I don't think you're the only one your profession.
Good. I'm not the last one. Good.
No, not by a long shot.
No, I feel like Billy Bob or somebody else isn't real involved. And I can't remember. There's some other actor that I really admired. Someone mentioned to me. It was Billy. I can't remember. I don't want to say names because I don't know for sure. But yeah. I guess now it's. I don't know. It's. It just feels like it's too late for me. I don't care anymore. And it's kind of. I'm almost like a guinea pig test to see how long a human being can survive on the planet without one. But I don't feel like I'm missing too much. There's encyclopedias, and you know, there's lots of ways to find things, and telephones if you want to talk to people, or letters if you want to communicate that way. But yeah, it's odd. But I guess I'm beginning to feel more and more like a relic or a dinosaur. But I'm holding tight to the dream. I'm still living the dream without the computer. See what happens.
Are there any gigs upcoming for King Straggler?
No, nothing on the books. I'm playing Tuesday at 10 o'clock at a place called Crane's on El Centro. That's a little plug in Hollywood. And that's not King Straggler's song, just stuff that doesn't really work so well with the group that I still want to play. So that's happening. And no, we don't really have one set. We played probably a month ago or something, somewhere roughly. And but again, I've been in and out of town, as have they. There's no real rancor or anything. We just kind of, you know, take breaks, and we happen to be on one.
Do you? And I'm just waiting for this thing to finish processing. Do you? I mean, do you play much cover material? It sounds like it's a very kind of a bluesy, like bluegrass almost. Blues.
I suppose. I don't think there's much real bluegrass in it at all. You know, the three of us come from. It's three frontmen who all write and sing, so we all come from different backgrounds and styles, and I guess it's kind of a melding of those. As the old press release said, part tattered folk, part noisy rock, and part teared up country, just kind of a little of everything. But, you know, we're not young men, or I can certainly speak for myself. We don't really love wearing earplugs. We've all been in loud bands before, but we've this band isn't one of those. It gets loud where it needs to, but for the most part, it's a little quieter, but still has some teeth and some guts and some humor So it's an interesting mix for sure. But yeah, we play a few covers. I guess the one place that we'd all intersect is that one artist that we'd all like would be Neil Young, but we don't sound like that. Or we do cover his song Harvest, and we've done covers of everything from Prince to the Cure to, I mean, you know, kind of new wavy stuff all the way to Elvis Presley to Little Feat to, you know, just lots of different bands. So.
Well, I have your song at my fingertips now.
I'm
and
afraid
just
of God
to remind
is the right one, Bob.
Yeah, me too. This is King Straggler, and this is Good Man, which you said is sort of about your dad.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right, let's cross your fingers. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
tonight, what we play here stays here.
If I could, I'd say these words, I am a good man. If I could, I'd make it hurt, I am a good man. A good man commits, a good man doesn't spit, a good man opens every door, a good man don't make out with whores. Someday I'm gonna say these words, I am a good man. Someday I'm gonna make it hurt, I am a good man. A good man's for real. A good man can feel. A good man don't put his fist through walls. A good man don't stay down when he falls. Haunted by my youth, suffocated truth. Piece of me has to die before I find the strength to fly. Then I'm gonna say these words, I am a good man. And I'm gonna make it hurt, I am a good man.
Father's son, always on the run, searching for the one and embracing none.
I am a good man. I am a good man.
Nice, and I trust that was the correct song.
That wasn't our song either, Bob. No, I'm kidding. That is, I liked it so much, I just wanted to let it go. I have no idea who that was. No, that was us. That was ours. Well, you know, we recorded that stuff, that first record, and we got a couple more ready to go. We're just shopping it a little bit and trying to figure out how to approach it. You know, the CD is dead. I'm kind of the last one to have learned that. The stores don't really take them. People don't much buy them anymore, but. But maybe we'll just put it all out online, but we got a lot more to go. But that was maybe 6 months after we started playing. It was recorded in, I think, 04, yeah. But it's good to hear again. That's nice.
Would it be wrong to call it a little bit funny and a little bit sweet?
I don't think that would be wrong at all.
All right.
Kind of like me.
Well, there you go. Well, our thanks to Tisha. And
yes, thanks, Tisha.
That was very nice of her to jump in and do that. Not a problem. Hey, look, we got to hang on to you a little longer than planned. And
oh, thanks.
So let me tell everybody, first of all, that you can catch John Hawks live in Los Angeles on Saturday, July 11th, when he hosts Acme Comedy Theater's Acme Saturday Night. You can order tickets online at www.acmecomedy.com. Or if you can't make it to the show, watch it live online at www.acmecomedy.tv. Now, you can also order King Straggler's self-titled CD, which I believe has Good Man on it, right?
It does, yes, indeed.
You can order that at cdbaby.com, among other places. And you can support the band on MySpace or on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
John, that was a lot of fun.
it was
a dull moment here.
Oh, it was really great. I thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thanks
my pleasure.
For hyping the Acme show. These are good people over here, and I hope we get a crowd. I think we should.
I'm sure you will. And thanks so much for being with us on Mr. Media. Good to talk to you.
And you. Take care.
All right, you too.
All right, bye-bye.
And folks, for more interviews with HBO stars, you can surf over to our main website, www.mrmedia.com. That's MrMedia.com. It's where you can listen to my earlier conversations with Anna Gunn, also of Deadwood, Jeff Garland of Curb Your Enthusiasm, and many more. And please think about writing an online review of Mr. Media, casting a vote for Mr. Media, or marking Mr. Media as one of your favorites, whether you listen on Blog Talk Radio, TrueSlant, Digital Journal, Vox, Podcast Pickle, MediaFly, Podfeed.net, Blueberry, Zencast, Zimbio, or Odeo. And subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. Or subscribe to Mr. Media's blog on the Amazon Kindle Reader. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. That's A-N-D-E-L-M-A-N. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, www.twitter.com/andelman. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate when you give us a piece of your day. And thanks for listening. Bye, everybody.